Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Olympic gold medal boxing winner from 1992, Michael Carruth, is with me in studio to answer all of your questions. Michael, how are you doing? How are things?
Good, thank you.
087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. I know there's loads of voice notes coming in for you in the next few minutes. But before we get to those, Michael, how did you get into boxing?
Well, it was kind of, boxing was brought in, it was always in my family. My father was the founding member of Green Hills Boxing Club. And then when we hit an age of 5 and 6 years old, I'm an identical triplet. I mean, by my other two brothers, Martin and William, joined as well. So we were good at football, we were good at Gaelic, but, you know, boxing was my sport.
Right.
You know, I was good at it. And basically, that's how I joined, because my dad was coach of Green Hills Boxing Club.
Yeah, you know? So that's what brought you into the ring. How has it changed now, you know, at a kind of a, well, both, I suppose, amateur and professional level?
Well, the amateur is you know, the amateur is still over three rounds. That's never going to change. Yeah, the level of training they have to do now still for three minute rounds is huge. How we've come into the next century. We have our own place up in Blanchardstown and things like that. The high performance. We've got full time coaches. You know, like Zara Antier, who's a great coach for Ireland over the last 10 or 15 years he's been with us, and he's probably even longer, you know. So, you know, we're not afraid to bring other people in from other countries as well and teach us something different, you know. And it's gone very well over the last, well, when you look at the last couple of Olympic Games,
we're
coming home with gold medals all the time, Katie and Kelly,
yeah.
You know. So it's
brilliant.
It's been great over the last couple of years.
And the Olympics and an Olympic gold, was that something you'd always set your sights on?
It was kind of mad, because when I was 7 years old, I had my first fight, and I said to me, I won my first fight, and my dad was in my corner, and out of nowhere, I said this to him. I said, "I'm going to win the Olympics." And he said, "Make me a promise." And I made him a promise. You know?
No way.
And then some 25 years later, whatever it was, you know, my dad was doing my corner in Barcelona, and I came back to him the corner, and the result hadn't been put out yet, and he said, "Thanks." I said, "For what?" He said, "For keeping your promise."
Aww.
I said, "My hand hasn't gone up yet." I said, "It has for me." He says, "You know." And it was a great moment between two of us, and we gave one another a hug. I went out.
It's a lovely memory.
Your man lifted my arm a little bit, and then I paraded like a magic.
So. Well, why not? Loads of voice notes coming in. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. Jim has this question.
Hi, Michael. Who's been your toughest fight in the ring?
My toughest fight probably have to be Billy Walsh. Billy and me are great pals, and, you know, for us, the last year or two of our careers, we started bumping into one another. So it was tough mentally and physically, you know, getting across the line and celebrating and things like that as well. You didn't really want to do in front of one another. So he won one, I won two. So I'm ahead of him. I'm staying ahead of him.
That's the way to keep it. Good stuff. We've another question in for you from Raith.
Hi, Michael. Hi. Was there ever a time that you felt like giving up boxing?
No, not really, because I always had a purpose. You know, I done what I had to do in amateur boxing by winning the Olympic gold medal and things like that. So I wasn't going to go back into amateur boxing. So the only thing, I was 25 and I was kind of forcing myself into retiring or going professional. So I went professional for about 4 or 5 years, and then I did retire. Mm. And then the one thing I don't, what I'm kind of proud of as well, is that I didn't come back, you know.
Okay.
Some people think that they can come back at 30 or 40, you can't.
Yeah, yeah. When you hung up the gloves, that was it.
Yeah, that's your best at 25, 26, you know, in around that time.
Okay. Text in for you. I'd like to know what it was like having your dad as your coach. Was it hard to balance your professional and personal relationship?
It was always, like, my father was always there, you know. Okay, we understood one another as well. We went to stop boxing, went to stop talk boxing. You know?
Right.
I think you're at home and you're watching television on a Sunday night, and he'd want me to do pad work with me or something like that. You know? So, but we were as bad as one another, because I was the first in the gym and I was the last out. So
right.
It was always that time as well. So if he got me to do the right things, and hence I won the Olympic gold medal.
It must have been hard though for him, you know, during various different stages to shift from being coach to dad. In watching you fight.
Yeah, I suppose the one time that he actually became my father in the corner and not my coach in the corner is, I broke both my hands in the Olympic Games, and I broke my left hand in the second fight and this one in the third fight, and he actually became my father in the corner, because he said, "I'm pulling it out." And I said, "I'm not coming out that. I'm winning the bronze medal here. I'm I'm winning this fight, yeah. You know? And I said, I'm not coming out, I said. So they got and x-rayed me and I cracked a bone again, you know what I mean? So, but that was the only time he ever was my dad in my corner.
Dad in the ring, good stuff.
Other times he was my coach.
Your coach. Yeah. Matthew has this question for you.
Hi, Michael.
Hi.
How do you stay focused during a long fight when you're exhausted?
Good question. You know, the next part of it again is the professional level of it is, you know, it's very hard to get you motivated as well, you know, sometimes as well when you feel like you're losing, you know, mm-hmm. if you're losing a long fight. I trained as best as I could and as hard as I could. And if I got into a ring 100% fit, then I knew myself I could win. You know, if I got in 80% or anything like that, I could lose, you know. So the bottom line was, it was keeping yourself motivated as well, keeping yourself, you know, it's hard. It's a hard life being a boxer as well because, you know, when I was growing up with my two sibling brothers, my Martin and William, my two triplet brothers, you know, they were going to Blinkers nightclub and I was in watching the Late Late Show with my mum and dad, you know. So it's about you pushing yourself to the furthest that you can push yourself and then going again.
Follow up text on that. Listener wondering, Michael, did winning an Olympic medal change how you saw yourself as an athlete?
No, not really. No, I listen, it was a dream come true for me. Like as I said to you earlier on, I told my dad I made a promise to him.
Yeah.
But with that, it was a dream come true. And winning the greatest prize in the world, there's nothing bigger than the Olympic Games. And that's the way it goes. You know?
Where do you keep the medal? Is it like a shrine in the sitting room?
No, I have it at home in a safe place.
In a safe place. Not thrown now under the bed or something in a box.
My brother Martin keeps asking me this question. Which one of your grandkids
will sell
you a gold medal? And I said, firstly, I don't have any grandkids. And secondly, I don't care. I'll be dead.
Oh, stop. Take it with you. That's the best way. Settle the rows. Lisa has sent in this question.
Hi, Michael. Hi. Are there any up-and-coming boxers we should look out for?
Absolutely. There's a whole gang's out loud. There's you've got Bobby Flood, you've got Pierce O'Leary, you've got Gary Cully. You know, these are professional boxers now. These are amateurs. We're in a great place now with the amateur boxers as well, so boys and girls. Mm. And the girls are doing really, really well as the boys. So in the next 5-6 years, you know, I think we're going to be winning a lot more medals in the Olympic Games again.
So. 087-1400-106, WhatsApp number. Another voice note in from Davey.
How does amateur boxing today compare to when you were fighting?
Pretty much the same. It's still the same. It's, you know, you get good decisions, you get bad decisions, you know, you get lucky, you don't get lucky. You know, it's one of those type of things. Amateur boxing, you know, if anything, it is a bit better because in our day, we didn't have high performance. We didn't have... Especially, we didn't have funding. You know, people like
it's changed a lot, I suppose, that way.
Well, people are paid now to, you know, if you win a medal at the World, European, or Olympic Games, you get funding, and that was never part of what we had. You know, so we were all. I was in the army. I was lucky. You know, I was in the army at 18 years old, and they let me do my training, which was great for me as well, because you know. You have to get your training done. So, but with the high performances, it's great that it's now happened.
Yeah.
That we have a high performance in boxing.
Flying through some of the texts as well. My little lad is mad to start boxing, says this texter, but I'm worried that it might be a bit dangerous. Are there extra safety measures in place now compared to years ago?
Yeah, every kid has to wear gum shields. Every kid has to wear head guards. You know, that type of thing is done. You don't fight them over anything more than 1.5 minutes around. You know, it depends what age they are. You know, so and with that, you know, the gloves are bigger and more padded as well for kids as well. You know, so and obviously, you know, every kid has to do medical and make sure that everything is right before they get in.
Listener wants to know, do you think, is Katie Taylor the best boxer Ireland has ever produced, or would you say you still hold that title?
She's the best female.
I'm the best male.
Yeah, so. And if she wants to fight me, she can fight me.
Well, actually, we were talking to you not so long ago when she announced her retirement. Would she get Croke Park?
I don't know. I just don't know. I can't understand why she can't. Like Muhammad Ali, to me, was the greatest boxer of all time. And he got to fight a guy called Al Blue Lewis in Croke Park. Katie Taylor is the best female boxer I've known. Kelly Harrington is right beside her, you know, because Kelly has won two Olympic gold medals. But if it's to be our last one, Croke Park Cup should be it, you know. But then there's a little stadium up around the corner from it as well. It's called Aviva.
Mm.
And I have a lot of great pals in Aviva there as well. And I'm sure they'd take it, no problem, if they wanted it, you know. And, you know, it's a fantastic stadium, Aviva Stadium as well.
So. Your own family and even nieces, nephews, listener wants to know, would you encourage them to follow in your footsteps?
I had my own son and my own daughter. I didn't ask them to join boxing. Yeah, boxing is a sport you really have to want to do yourself, not be pushed into it. Yeah, and we've seen it over the years with parents bringing kids down and throwing them in, and you know, and they just don't want it. You know, so it's a sport you need really want to join yourself.
Yeah, you didn't push them into it then.
No.
Should boxers do other sports to keep flexible? Listener wants to know.
Well, I suppose we could, you know, like stretching was a huge part of, you know, things as well. And people take it for granted, you know. Like I used to do all different sports in the army as well, because I used to get fed up going up to the top of the gym and hitting the punch bag, yeah. You know, and you get browned off doing that. So I used to play badminton, I used to play squash, I used to do all different. And when you think about it, it's fairly active, you know, it's a hand.
Different
and foot,
kind of flexibility.
And it's eye
yeah.
contact as well, you have to have it. So I've done a lot of that as well, okay. You know, with my career as well.
Listener wants to know, Michael, what was the worst injury you ever had?
Worst injury was probably only breaking my hands. I never broke my nose. Or got it broke. Now my hands was the worst. Yeah.
Another texter asking, what was it like to become a celebrity overnight? What was your favourite memory of that time after the win?
Well, I suppose you don't go off. I went to the Olympic Games, and I don't like using this word, a nobody. I came home as somebody. Mm. Okay. But with that, you know, my somebody still say the same course. You know, I still was the seventh born in my family, and I took orders from my siblings and my mother and father and down and yards. So with that, it was a dream. As I said, it was a dream come true, you know, winning the Olympic Games. But it was the dream. Yeah.
Just want to ask you, presume you were watching the match last night.
I was.
Yeah. What was your reaction? Are you a good spectator, or how are you now watching?
Me and my son Carl, we were watching it last night, and luckily there was no priest in the house there last night, because there was a certain amount of language being thrown at it. And I thought the referee was absolutely diabolical.
Right.
You know?
Like,
even up to the last minute when you look at that tackle in the corner, that was a sending off. You know? And he didn't even give him a card. So listen, what I would say to the Irish team, we're very, very proud of you. Every one of us are proud of you.
I was thinking of that, because I was thinking of the team now and the match on Tuesday and all of that. Like, you know, as professional athletes, how hard will it be for them to get the head and the mindset right now for Tuesday?
It's going to be very hard for them, you know, because there's no prize. You know, you fight, like, if you're fighting for a world title, you fight harder. If you're fighting against, you know, Joe Bloggs down the road, it's not happening, you know. So you get to motivate yourself the whole nine yards. It's going to be very hard for them to get themselves up for Tuesday as well, you know. I dare say they'll win, but it's going to be very, very hard for them to motivate themselves.
To do that. Texter now wants to know, what do you do to keep fit? Do you still box yourself?
I'm a head coach at Drimla Boxing Club. I work with the Irish Amateur Boxing Association. Our employees, our funders are Dublin City Council. And we do a thing called the Startbox programme. We go into schools and we do programmes every day. And me, myself, I do a lot more walking than I do training, because the old knees and bones are going on me. You know, I am 58 now, getting old. You know, so and that's the way it works.
Oh, brilliant. Well, listen, Michael, it's been a pleasure to chat to you, and thanks a million for...
Can I just ask one of my golf colleagues asked me a question earlier on today. His name is Jack O'Shea. They're great.
Right,
Jack O'Shea,
okay.
From Kerry. And he asked me, who was the most annoying player you've ever played with? And we all know who it is. It's a guy called Niall Andrews from Killeen Golf Club.
Right.
So there you go, Niall. You're the most annoying.
He's got his answer here in Lunchtime Live today. Michael, it's been a pleasure, and thanks so much for joining us here on the programme. Michael Carruth there, of course, gold Olympic medal winner, boxing medal winner, I should say, as well. Email, as always, if you want to get in touch, lunchtimelivenewstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.